Hey, now, we are going to be talking. Well, you lead off. It was your post.
Yeah, so I just posted. They
posted posted too on the whatever on the screen.
Does he ever actually do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Does he or no?
I don't think so.
I don't watch our podcast.
Actually, I don't either. I just listen.
Do you do it, Dave?
Okay. Okay.
I got too much shit going on.
Yeah, I posted.
But everybody else should watch them.
I posted a quote. Well, it wasn't really a quote. It's just my own personal thoughts. But basically, my theory is that rich people don't really care who's in power, right? If it's socialist policies or capitalist policies, rich people profit off either way. It doesn't matter. Whereas I used to think like, oh, well, these socialist policies are going to ruin my opportunity to make money and get out of the rat race or whatever else. But what I was actually doing is just wasting time arguing about politics. Mm-hmm. And what I actually think is that politics is just a smokescreen and a trap for basically middle class and poor people. It keeps people arguing about stupid BS. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When in reality, regardless of whatever system's in place, there are very clear ways to go out and make money and profit off of the particular powers that be at the time. So what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I feel Jesse, we need to get Scott a different water bottle. I can't stand looking at that fucking thing. Number one.
Okay. You have pink lemonade.
I don't even know what this is. I think it's like fruit punch. Anyways, Dave, make a note. We have to get Scott a different shaker. That thing's bullshit.
Dave, make a note. Yeah. We gotta get Dan a different color drink.
Okay, listen. So, this is what I think. I think that I agree with you to a certain extent. And the reason why I agree with you to a certain extent is because I feel regardless of policy, there's a significant advantage to owning real estate, regardless of your political views or what's happening political in the world.
Whether capitalist policies are in place or socialist.
If anything, it's more advantageous to have socialist policies when you own real estate.
And why is that?
Because of previous reasons that we discussed in previous podcasts, because the socialist governments, tons of red tape, restrictions, it essentially compresses the housing market with their bullshit policies. Now, from a business perspective, so this is why I feel like that post is true, but it's also, it's like a two-headed snake or whatever the fuck you people call that thing. So whatever like the analogy
monster?
Is, like whatever monster, whatever the fuck.
The old two-headed snake.
Yeah, whatever it is. So because I feel like if you take those policies and you're not, and when I'm actually referring to is actual business, not real estate. So business and real estate are obviously two different things. So when you're actually, when you have a business that's actually producing income, you have to pay taxes on, you have to pay, you know, whatever, right? If you're not at the highest level, like I'm talking like the absolute 1%, I feel like those policies can fuck you still. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I feel like that is because when you have states, and we'll use the America as an example. When you have states like New York, and I don't know exactly about New Jersey, but let's use exactly California and New York. I have heard New Jersey is going this way too. I don't know if they actually did, but California, New York, when you have taxes that bump up to, you know, I think it's over like 60%. It jumps like an insane amount. And then you have states that are like business friendly, like Florida, where you can potentially make, you know, more income. Like we're talking like double digit income because you're not being taxed as much. That's a big, big factor.
Yeah. Let me throw a counterpoint here. Who gets paid in a salary? Middle class.
Yeah.
Like the rich people.
I know, but I'm only talking about the business owner, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking at this through the lens of a business owner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you think the business owner, right? That's, and when I say rich, I'm talking like the rich, like the, you know, the one to 5%.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Why I feel like it's not exactly applicable. If you have a guy like Bezos, that's clearly left-leaning, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe he's not. But at the end of the day, maybe his influence can be pushed on that side, right? You have the Washington, he owns the Washington Post, mm-hmm. all that stuff. They clearly have an agenda. So what I'm saying in regards to that is at that level, that doesn't matter because you're so tied to the government that you can put you can put your fingers in places and make things happen regardless of your taxation. Now, also beyond that, motherfucker's not even being taxed because there's all kinds of, like, at that level, tax shelters that exist. Okay. You can move money. I've already talked to I've already talked to Jay about this, like my tax accountant. In order to maintain moving money around like that, so that you're actually not being taxed, you have to be at a certain level where the benefits outweigh not only the risk, but also the cost of doing it. And those people are at that level. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But people at, like, say, for example, you know, like my level or whatever, it's going to take a little bit more to get to that point where I can start moving money offshore where the actual tax implications won't affect me anymore. That's what I'm talking about, right?
Okay. So, so let's say you're getting a little bit burned because of the heavy taxation bureaucracy, right? It's hurting your profits for your business because you got to pay more, whatever. Yeah,
of course.
But because you're an intelligent, wealthy person with means, you can say, okay, well, I'm going to counterbalance that by owning a bunch of real estate.
Take that out of the mix. Because not everybody owns real estate. We're talking about only taxes.
But I'm talking about the theory is that the rich people don't care because no matter what the government does, it's not that they don't care. You might have a preference, right? It's not that I don't care. It's just that, like, no matter what government is in power, I'm going to take advantage of it one way or another. Like, I'm going to be okay. It's going to be the middle class and poor that get burned. Mm-hmm. So yes, you get burned in one aspect, but that's the point, because whatever government's in power, you can just pivot and go do something else to counterbalance it. Okay, well, you're doing this here, you're taxing me heavy here, but you're also letting in 400,000 people a year and, like, increasing red tape on real estate. Okay, I'm going to take these profits and invest in real estate. And that's going
to
kind of
you're still getting taxed, though, where you could move more profits to real estate. So take real estate take it out. Take it out.
No, I disagree.
No, take it out.
I disagree.
Take it out.
I disagree.
Because if you own a business and you don't own real estate, that's what I want to focus on, is if you
I'm classifying it as rich people, middle class, and poor. And there's a distinction between those. And I you know, this is Robert Kiyosaki. This isn't me. But rich people,
I don't know that motherfucker, okay?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's whatever. He's got really good advice. But basically, rich people, it's not necessarily a quantity of money. It's a mindset. You just know what to do with your money. So rich people is the mindset. No matter what government's in power, they're going to take advantage of it. So they put this stupid tax in place. Okay, well, I'm going to do this. Okay, you do this, I'm going to do that. You do that, I'm going to raise prices. Right? Like, they're always going to win.
I understand that. So I am coming from the lens, of a business owner who owns both. And I would much rather be in a scenario where there's a free market capital style environment or economy.
So understandable.
Now, the reason why I would rather do that is because I'll give people the trickle down effect of why I would rather have that.
And okay? I'll play the devil's advocate.
Okay, that's fine. You're fucking wrong, but whatever. So I'm joking. So listen. So you make X amount of dollars. You're making $10 million. You're going to get taxed on your personal income, say. There's all kinds of arguments or there's all kinds of things that you can do. You know, for example, I'm making less money on paper than I actually am. I'm writing all kinds of shit off personally that I, you know, use personally versus using the business, this and that. But I'm also not doing that to the fullest extent because I also, if somebody comes in and solicits a sale for my company or whatever,
You want clean books.
Yeah, I want clean books. Yeah. I don't want to drown the company in all kinds of bullshit expenses, this and that. However, if I could peel off an extra $1 million or whatever, just for example's sake, and move it into you know, real estate, I'm better off there. Mm-hmm. Now, when you say, well, free market capital economy with regards to real estate naturally drives the cost of real estate down, it encourages competition in the real estate market, encourages competition in business and all that type of stuff, then yes, I understand that. However, I like competition sharpens people. Okay. Mm-hmm. It also increases quality. I like having that kind of, even though it fucking rattles me and it gets me all fired up, I like having the freedom to pivot even quicker. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've built all the businesses that I've built based off of red tape, literally from the fucking government. Nutritional products, cannabis, even the limo company, you know, development, all that kind of shit. Red tape.
That's my point.
I understand that. However, I feel like I would be stronger if it was free market because I feel like me and the team we have here, would be able to navigate it quicker and smarter and faster than the next person. And that, and I feel like the scalability of that would be even that much quicker and more impressive.
Possibly,
and
your prices might be lower.
That's fine. I don't care. I don't care. And then I'm okay with that. Mm. And we would be able to produce things for less. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
So
you can see the benefits.
I understand the benefits. Yeah. I understand the benefits,
this is exactly my point. No matter what,
I understand.
Because you're, let's call you rich, not based on quantity of money, but mindset. Mm-hmm. And also means,
yeah,
you can pivot in either market. You can succeed in either market. you have a rich mindset. Whatever the government throws at you, you could go to the US and the free market and succeed because you have the right team. You know how to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you wouldn't be successful. Mm-hmm. You might be even more successful, but there is a counterbalance to either one that you're able to take advantage of.
I agree. However, I am talking extremely high level and I'm literally comparing apples to apples, not apples to oranges. Like that okay, listen. Just for example's sake, humor me here. Take fucking real estate out of it. Just take it out. Okay.
Well, we just talked about business. We just talked about business. Take it out. That wasn't real estate.
Just take it out. So if you own a business and you're going to be getting taxed 60% versus 40%, where are you going to go? Just do that.
You might. Here's the thing the rich people do. They just set up a headquarters here, but all the workers still work here.
It's not as easy. I'm going through it right now. It's not as easy as you think.
It's not because we're not.
I agree. I'm talking more about the states because it doesn't happen like that in Canada. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's federally. Like our income tax is like pretty much set federally.
Yeah, we're kind of screwed here.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, you know, capital gains is across the board, across the country in Canada. I'm more talking about countries or US, for example, where, you know, there's no income tax in Florida. And then you get taxed right up your fucking ass in New York. That's what I'm talking about. Or California. That's what I'm talking about. And yes, I understand, like, you know, for me, the real estate company that I have in the US, it's headquartered in Wyoming. I get that. That's real estate. However, here's the problem. You can't do that if you operate the business out of a specific state. Business doesn't work like that. It doesn't work the same as real estate. There's real estate taxation havens in the US that exist for that particular reason. Mm-hmm. But business doesn't work like that. That's why people are fucking leaving. Mm-hmm. It doesn't actually work like that. You have to pay the income tax where the income tax or where the products and services are originating from. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Yeah, and I can see these people the business owners just saying, okay, well, we're going to set up the necessary means. We're going to start manufacturing in Florida then, right?
That's a big move, man. That's a big fucking move.
A lot of people are doing it.
I understand that. But when you're not on site, that's a big, big fucking decision. That's a big one, man.
I'm talking big business.
Yeah. This isn't like even me. Like there's no chance I'm doing shit like that.
Yeah.
Like there's no fucking chance. Like mm-hmm. unless I scale like even bigger, like I can't imagine setting up another, manufacturing facility in like Alberta. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine it. It would just be too much. The potential risk factor for that happening being like so offsite, even though I'm like fairly hands off now, I'm at high level now for pretty much everything that I'm kind of doing. I have to be the fact that I'm like accessible and I can get there in 5 minutes still if something needs to get done is a big factor. Now I've never tried it. I'm not saying it can't be done. All I'm saying is like business operates a little bit different than real estate. That's why I feel like we're comparing apples to oranges a little bit. And I do understand your point is that if the government's fucking you in your one business that actually generates, you know, profit or whatever, or, you know, an income stream, own real estate to counterbalance that. I understand that aspect of it, but some people just, you know, I come across people that own businesses all the time that just have no interest in owning real estate.
And they're stupid. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
I mean, that's debatable.
I'm just joking.
Or but, subjective.
So, overall, I mean, I think we're on the same page for the most part. Rich people will take advantage of whatever the government throws at them. A lot of times socialists will it'll make the 1% even more rich, but it makes it harder for the middle class to get rich, I think.
Way harder. And,
but the people that do own the businesses and assets get really, really wealthy in this socialist environment.
Yes, assets. Yeah, if they own like tangible assets, I feel.
Yeah, like, which is income-producing businesses, real estate, and other assets that make money.
Yeah, basically. And I'm not saying, obviously I live in a Canada, right? And my business is in Canada. I understand that, like, you know, but it would be nice to not have to fucking pay such high capital or, you know, corporate taxes. It would be nice.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And if you had a preference, I'm sure you'd be operating in a different environment.
Exactly. So especially when you're, especially when you can be mobile and you can pivot and all that type of stuff where the, you know, I agree. Mm. However,
but the benefits are you don't have a bunch of people competing with you that have money and means and experience in a team equal to your team and the experience to do it and big money, big tech behind them and whatever else.
The advantages is that, you know, the government in the businesses that I'm in have, you know, instituted, you know, high barriers to entry. And I like barriers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I built these businesses based on barriers.
Those barriers aren't just, hey, this is producing food and whatever. It's also heavy tax. It's hard to start a business here. Like, it's expensive.
It really is.
It's very expensive because of all the bureaucracy.
Business owners every chance they can get.
Yeah, big time. And I'm not advocating, so these socialist policies are awesome. I love them. I'm just saying, like, the rich people don't care that as much.
And really, the way to grow your net worth is to, you know, own assets, really. So I get it. I get what you're saying. However, it's still...
And I guess my ultimate point here is that, like, I wasted a lot of time and energy just debating, right? Mm. Oh, I hate this policy. I hate that policy. Instead of just taking advantage of it. Now, I still have a side that I'm on pretty clearly in terms of policy, but I'm powerless to really change it. Mm. So I'm going to take advantage of it. And I think that's mostly my point. Like, stop wasting so much time and energy and start taking advantage of the policy. Could we, do you agree? Like, did you ever get caught up in this? See, you're always making moves, though. That's the thing.
I don't think we're powerless. I would disagree with you on that one, but
well, you're,
like if we change. Listen, if we change people's mind like one mind at a time, it's not powerless. You know what I mean?
I agree, but you're powerless to change the socialist policies like tomorrow, right? It might change over 10 years or 15 years as we change people.
I think you have
no choice right now but to operate in the environment.
Like, I'll give you an example, like of what I think is that if we keep on, you know. Maybe not talking about, like, I don't want to get like insanely political, but at the end of the day, if we, I think that again, the lower and middle class, if they're listening to these podcasts and they're starting to understand why people in positions where they want to be continue to build wealth and they can't. Like, they need to relate it back to why that's happening. Mm-hmm. And if they start opening their eyes to what we're actually saying, because we are actually seeing it and we are there, maybe they'll change.
That's how I changed.
Yeah, exactly.
I was very left-leaning before because I just watched the news and they said this and they said that and they made these promises and I believed them.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm trapped in the middle-class rat race, right? I can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I started saying, hey, economically speaking, if I read Kiyosaki's book, I got to do X, Y, and Z to get out of that rat race, get yourself out of this never ending wheel of one vacation a year and basically living broke. Once I started going down that path, I started seeing like, holy crap, those policies are not actually good for a lot of people. They actually burn a lot of people and they keep people like it's modern day slavery in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. A lot of this, you know, when you're just trapped in a job for 35 years, it can be pretty, there's no light at the end of the tunnel for a lot of people. So, but these promises just fool everybody into thinking that they're like this benevolent, godlike entity raining down CERB checks on everybody, you know, but there's a price to pay.
Yeah.
There's a price to pay. And if you don't make the right moves, you're going to pay that price for the next 35 years because you're never going to have your house paid off. You're never going to be able to upsize your house. You're never going to be able to upsize your lifestyle. You're just going to be trapped.
Mm.
And the whole time, they don't know it. They don't know it. So I think hitting people, one of the best ways to hit people is in the wallet, right? Can't always change people's mind until they understand the impact on their wallet and why they can't get ahead. And I think that's going to change a lot of people's mind to start noticing that these policies are BS and that they're coming out and I think both sides talk about coming after the rich. Obviously, the left a lot more in reality, but they don't actually do it.
No,
they don't actually do it. The rich get more rich in this country, and I'm talking that 1%. I'm not talking the middle class. I'm not talking upper middle class here because upper middle class isn't rich. They don't really own anything typically.
Mm.
Those are high income earners, but they have high income lifestyles, or they have high cost lifestyles.
Yeah, they get taxed up the ass.
Yeah.
Doctors, then, whatever.
Yeah, so they're not, they typically don't really get ahead. They might have a little bit more money and a nicer car and stuff, but yeah, they're not really rich. When I say rich, I'm talking the 1%. Those people do not get taxed.
Enough to make a difference.
No, not enough to make a difference in their lifestyle. Yeah. And they make so much money in other ways that it really, they're probably even ahead in a lot of ways, right? When you own the right assets.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope this opens up. I don't really care. I'm not here to debate political policy about, oh, we should stop letting, it's not about letting in immigrants or not. Yeah. I don't care. It's how does that impact you financially?
It's literally fact at this point.
Yeah. How does that impact you?
Yeah.
How does a CERB check impact you? Well, you're going to pay it. How does that carbon tax impact you? Go $1.37 a liter right now.
Mm-hmm.
Gasoline just 75% increase in two years.
So that's crazy.
A tax. That's your buying power. Heavy inflation coming right now. Government printing money right now. I don't really care to debate about it because I'm going to go take advantage of it. What am I going to do? Go pick it on the street? Yeah. Like, I don't have time. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. I don't have time because I'm too busy trying to outpace inflation. Mm-hmm. I have to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, I don't know, to summarize, yeah, you can operate in either environment. I think, you know, I don't own a business or anything. So which environment would you choose to operate in right now if you had the choice? If you had the choice to start from square one right now in, let's say, Florida, less regulation, less state taxes, more easy to operate, or would you do the same thing in Canada, higher barriers to entry, higher taxes, no competition?
Well, there is.
Yes, I shouldn't say no competition, but
I'm not like a fucking Rain Man over here. But
I don't know if that's the right analogy, but
isn't that what that guy is in that movie, Rain Man? Dave?
He's autistic and counted cards. I don't know. I don't see I don't see the relation.
That's a tough one.
Keep in mind, you would probably be successful in both. I mean, there's benefits to both, and there's negatives to both.
Hard to say. I am going to not answer because I really don't know the answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you'd have to really think about, right? And you don't really know all the rules in the states and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I think it's
if I could, okay, I'll put it to you this way. If I was where I am now in Canada, where I am in the States, at exactly the same point, making the exact same company, doing the exact same thing, exact same people, I would rather be in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Because what?
I was going to say, but starting out, you don't know, right?
I don't know, right? Yeah, exactly. Starting out, I'm not really sure because I did this in Canada. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But where I am now, I would rather be in Florida where I am now because I feel like the scalability, there's an advantage in the States for scalability.
Massive, yeah. There's more.
And not even necessarily because of population. I feel because of the tax regulations.
There's a lot of things, right? When the income earners don't get taxed as much, they have more money to spend.
Yeah. And then what I would do is I would roll it back into the company and scale the company. Yeah, that's essentially what ends up happening. And then what happens when you scale a company, you produce more jobs, yada, yada, yada. Then the state gets more taxes. Well, like that's why businesses are moving to Florida.
Yeah, that's
end of story. It's not even Florida, Texas, like wherever, like North, the Dakotas, Utah. Like that's why those companies are going there.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to scale, I would think, in a socialist policy environment.
Well, think about it. It is. When you're getting taxed, 27% corporate tax, whereas Florida, I'm pretty sure it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if there's...
I think there's, no state tax.
There's not for income. I don't know 100% at a corporate level.
Corporate might be different.
Yeah, for an actual business. I could tell you about real estate, but... for an actual business operating out of, for example, Florida, what their tax implications are, I'm not 100% sure. And it's not like real estate where you can just open up a holding corp in another state.
You actually operate.
Wherever you actually operate, you have to, that's where that corp has to be.
Yeah,
that's a little bit different.
Now, set up a shell
I'm
office.
Like 90% sure. I could be wrong.
Yeah, there might be some workarounds that elite corporations can pull some strings and make it look like whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? But definitely harder to scale here.
Yeah.
than the US, I'm guessing. And the big reason for that is like red tape. There's red tapes. There's so much red tape in this country.
Yeah.
And it's insane.
That's why we're going to the US for real estate is because we want to scale, and the US is where you scale.
It's a great point. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are thinking about that.
No, like I want to scale in the US, not only myself, but the people that we bring with us, you know, the investors and everything. And I want to scale over there.
So why do you think it's easier to scale in the US for real estate?
You know, you can move the corps wherever you want. The holding corp doesn't have to be in a state where you're getting taxed. Also, you know, 1031 exchange. You
can at least.
Yeah, for now, whatever.
Hopefully it stays.
But. Yeah, you can, you're not going to get taxed on your capital gains. And also I feel like the states is about like, you know, maybe 5 years behind the curve where we are. Mm-hmm. So I think that the same policies, if the Democrats stay in power, are coming to the states.
Yep. And there, yeah. So
you have two factors. You have either number one, the policies in the Democratic states where it's going to operate exactly like Canada, where things are going to be compressed. They're going to get squeezed, like the housing market. Or number two, you have people that don't want to be a part of that, that are going to move to states that aren't driving the economy there and the real estate market there. So
either way, you can win.
Either way. Yeah, you either go into like Democratic states where, you know, there's a ton of red tape, you know, buy an asset there, which is going to be restricted regardless because of all their bullshit policies, or you go to a more open or more red state where people are moving to because they don't want to deal with those policies and that therefore driving the real estate market there.
Yeah. And I like that because the economy is driving the real estate market, not government policy.
Yeah.
Free market.
Yeah.
Jobs moving there.
Yeah.
Big corporations moving there. More population
stable.
Moving there.
It's more stable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have there's more opportunity, higher cap rates, at least for now.
Yeah.
More, it's a more liquid market because people can 1031 exchange.
Yeah. And now the one thing that I like the most about it is the fundamentals exist.
Oh yeah.
The fundamentals here don't really exist.
Yeah. Well, unless you count fundamentals as red tape, immigration,
which I don't.
Barriers to entry.
I just don't.
Yeah. Socialist policies.
Yeah. Those aren't fundamentals to me.
Like, I mean, they're a different type of fundamental. I don't like it, but you can profit off of it. But I do agree, right? I like investing off of, hey, Facebook has a headquarters with 20,000 high-paying tech jobs down the street.
Yeah.
Or NASA, Boeing, and whatever have, you know.
That's a fundamental to me.
Real estate here.
Yeah, that's a fundamental.
Yeah.
Like, those are fundamentals, you know, not, hey, I can't get a permit.
Well,
do you know what I mean? Although I understand your argument. Yeah, like, it does restrict the policies, but the only problem that I have with that is if things go the other way where, you know, and things do take a long time to change, but if things start swinging the other way and things start opening up, you might've invested in the wrong market, not based off fundamentals. That's the only argument that I would have to say about that, but that could take a long time. That could take 10 years to change. Who knows?
So give me an example there. I'm not sure I follow.
Well, say for example, if a political side comes in, say the Liberals in Canada are done, right? And they open things up, right? All of a sudden, then permits start getting quicker and you know,
maybe they slow immigration.
Maybe they slow immigration. So like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, whereas if you have fundamentals, like, you know, job growth and that type of stuff, population growth and stuff like that, or population migration into the area or whatever, for reasons being that people want to be there. There's, you know, it's a sustainable economy. Then that is a much better situation than
be able to weather.
Yeah.
A storm.
I feel like that is more stable long-term versus like political agendas that could flip, you know, every election potentially.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
I don't think that would actually happen, but theoretically, that might be a factor.
And this goes to show, like, I don't know, in my opinion, real estate's not overly complicated.
No.
It's very easy to spot political policy, what's happening, what are the immigration trends, what are the population trends, what are the job growth trends, where are people going, and go buy assets that cash flow and make money in those areas. And the amount of complication that I see, especially beginner investors, bring to the table is like, it's way too complicated for them. It's way too, like, they're thinking way too much. They're thinking like, and they don't think about fundamentals.
What's funny is, like, to your comment there, I've come across a lot of, you know this, I've come across so many people at like some of these talks that I've done and all that stuff that are bringing up like terms and equations and all this shit that like I'm literally using now to like to underwrite like $50 million properties with like hundreds of units.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the fuck those guys are talking about. And they're like, and I'm like, well, like, what are you going after? Like a duplex. And I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
Yeah. So you're,
you know,
you're trying to like raise money and partner up and use other people's money to buy a duplex.
Yeah. Like all kinds of shit. They're talking, they're talking about all these analogies and all these fucking formulas and shit. Yeah. I don't even know what the fuck half of them were.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Those are strategies. What I never hear people talk about is fundamentals. Hey, I want to buy a duplex in Windsor, Ontario because X, Y, and Z, this is what's happening. People are moving here. It's the lowest cost city in Ontario. Government's heavy tape. There's not enough supply. Nobody talks about fundamentals. But when you talk about fundamentals, buying the duplex becomes a lot easier because you don't have to worry about the little bit of mold in the corner. Mm-hmm. You don't need to worry about OPM and how you're going to scale your portfolio. Mm. It's like, okay, I need to buy an asset right now because prices are on the rise because of X, Y, and Z. It's understanding the fundamentals of the market, which isn't, and each market's different, right? Real estate is hyper-local. People need to understand this. If you're operating in Windsor, it's very different than some northern city with no population growth, right? You might be investing for cash flow there. Because you don't get any growth. But in Windsor, Ontario, you're going to be like, okay, well, I'm going to get a little bit less cash flow, but I'm going to get this massive appreciation because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Nobody talks fundamentals.
Yeah.
I don't even hear podcasts people talk about it, really. It's just strategies.
People are shit.
It's strategies without fundamentals. And I don't know, even the best athletes, they're when they're out there practicing, what do they practice? Typically, they practice fundamentals. They're not out there swinging for the fences on every... everything they do, they're not out, they're practicing 360 dunks, right? They're practicing their form, their jump shot, their whatever sport they're playing, right? It's the fundamentals. That's where you start, right? And then you can innovate from there. But what I find is people come into real estate and they try to innovate first.
I think that one of the problems too is everybody's on fucking bigger pockets and taking their advice from the US. It doesn't fucking,
that's a good point.
The shit doesn't work here. Doesn't work.
You got a massive market in the US.
Yeah.
And because real estate's hyper-local, if you're on a board where they're talking about some Ohio real estate, some farm town where they're getting, buying a property for 50 grand with $500 cash flow, but it doesn't appreciate for 30 years, that's a different strategy.
Yeah.
Because they're not, yes, you're getting more cash flow and you're getting higher percentage returns, but you're not getting appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it's a bad strategy. It's like, it's that people think, well, that's the only strategy I will ever do. And they're missing the fundamentals of Ontario's market. And I'm not saying you should choose one over the other, but they're both good.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida is good for reasons we just talked about, but so is New York.
Mm-hmm.
You think New York's dead?
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerhouse. You think California's dead? It's a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the fundamentals have shifted and you got to just understand them and then adjust your strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
But other people here, nobody's talking about that. They're talking about, how do I raise other people's money and do a syndication for my first deal?
Might not be the right time.
Probably
like, what the fuck?
Probably isn't.
Yeah,
and like, while they're wasting 7 or 8 months trying to figure that out, the market's rising 27%.
Yeah, maybe you should get a fucking job and raise the money yourself, asshole. You know what I mean? You fucking lazy ass.
I do not condone.
Well, let's be honest.
What Dan is saying.
Well, what the fuck? Like, let's be honest here.
I do agree, but.
Like, half these people don't even have fucking jobs. They always reach out to me on fucking Instagram and they're like, hey, I want to do this and this and this and. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, how are you going to do that? And they're like, oh, I'm just going to like pull in investors and all that stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, do you work? And they're like, no. And I'm like, get a fucking job. Like, what are you doing?
Seriously.
Like,
seriously,
what the fuck?
It's one of my, it'd be one
get
of
a
our,
fucking job, people.
It'd
fuck.
Be one of our top pieces of advice for people.
God almighty.
Is go get a job. Stay at that job for 2 years, even if you have to sacrifice, even if you hate it.
Yeah.
Start buying real estate.
Like, fuck, stay in it as long as you need to. Use that as a fucking...
Yeah, it's your tool.
It's your fucking bank.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Those people that try to skip...
There's nothing wrong with having a job. Like, I don't understand, like, this whole craze of, like, you gotta start your own business. You can't work for anybody else. Like, what the fuck? Like, Dave, I don't know. Dave likes it here? Yeah. Fuck. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And Dave's gonna do all right here. He's gonna do pretty fucking well, I'm pretty sure. So... You know what I mean? Everybody here will.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I don't see a problem with that. Like, at the end of the day, and then you know what's going to happen? Dave's going to make money. He's going to own real estate, and that's it. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, or maybe he'll work on a side thing while he's here with the money that he makes from here, right?
Yeah, whatever.
Like, and then do both. But you're not going to quit your job and then have nothing.
So,
and then,
some people aren't cut out for this. They're just not.
This is a different... lifestyle.
Owning real estate, a lot of people could be cut out for it because you actually don't have to, you know, You don't, you could bring in people like me to manage your shit. So it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't have to be that
real
way.
Real estate is for everybody.
Yeah. I can't just like, I can't like hire somebody to like manage this.
Yes.
Like to some extent I can, a high level, like, you know, executive or whatever, but at the end of the day, like I'm the driving force behind this and I'm the one that works the 20 hours and I'm the fucking one having like the outrageous amounts of stress and, you know, all that shit. Like people don't want this. People just don't want this. And what people, I've been making posts lately about being like a monster, like being capable of being a monster in business and stuff like that. A lot of people, I think they want this level, but they can't.
They're not monsters.
They're not monsters. No, so at the end of the day, they're not going to get here. So one of the ways to get hyper successful though is to be behind a monster. Mm-hmm. You know
that's
what I mean?
A good point.
So that you don't have to be the monster, but you can support the monster with your skill set.
Yep.
That is probably one of the 99% of the people. Cause a lot of people, I'm going to be honest, I don't have a work like life relationship, a healthy one. I don't have a healthy one. It's unhealthy as fuck. Mm-hmm. It really is. But I'm so driven to get to a certain level. I will stop at nothing to get there. Mm-hmm. And if that means sacrificing my work life balance, then so be it. But a lot of people aren't like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people can't stomach it.
And I'm not.
Yeah.
But that's why I partner up with people like you.
Yeah.
Because I bring a certain skill set.
Yeah.
But I'm not like that.
Yeah.
But you're gonna help take me to that next level.
Yeah.
And hopefully I bring something to the table as well.
Yeah, of course. And my thing is too, is like my advantage is solely, you know, I've actually heard multiple times is I have a good way of bringing in key people. That's literally what people attribute my skill set to. That's why I've been here.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have that skill.
Yeah.
Like I just.
Which I don't even know. I don't even know if that's possible. I don't even know if that's the thing or not with me. I really don't know. I've just.
Well, you don't get to this level unless by yourself.
Right? No. Of course you don't. But I don't like when people are out there telling people to leave and start your own shit. Like,
yeah, I think most people out there are like me, right? Mm-hmm. I want a certain level of success, but mm-hmm. I don't want to sacrifice my whole lifestyle.
Like that is extremely bad advice. It's extremely bad advice.
What's that?
When people tell other people to like, you know,
to go and do what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Very bad advice.
What the right advice is, understand yourself.
Yeah.
And then operate intelligently within that. And then for me, it's like, I'm not trying to get rich quick.
Yeah.
This has been now year four in the process and stuff is happening, but I know it's slow and steady for me and it's passive. I want passive. I don't want the active 20-hour week work days. I'm trying to get away from that, if anything. So I need to do this strategy, slow and steady, own real estate because that's passive.
Yeah.
Now, if people can just take this, you're going to get a lot further. When you understand yourself and you operate within your sphere of like where you feel good, you're going to be a lot more successful. You're right. The bad advice is when I try to be Dan Crosby, because it's not going to work for me.
Yeah.
It's not going to work for me. I'm going to get nowhere.
Yeah. And you're going to have a shit life. So, so at the end of the day, I don't like that. I don't like that kind of advice. If you think you're cut out for it, there's no reason why you can't start something for the extra 8 hours you have throughout the day. And if that's too much, then it's definitely too much to go on your own. Because when you go out on your own, you better be fucking ready to work 20 hours. And if you're not even capable of working that extra full-time job besides your existing full-time job, forget it.
That
ain't for you.
Tells you it ain't for you. And that's fine. But then adapt your strategy and do other passive things, right? And real estate ownership is number one.
Exactly.
And like you said, real estate ownership, in my opinion, is for everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, not everybody's going to do it.
Yeah.
Because they're too stupid with their money or they spend it frivolously or they don't have the discipline or they don't have the risk tolerance or, you know, they think it's risky, whatever. That's fine. But real estate ownership is for everybody. If you're me or if you're Dan, you should own real estate.
Yeah.
And we both do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's end it there.
Cool.